Welcome to day 127 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host, and today we will read from the book of 2 Samuel, two chapters there, chapters 6 and 7, and then we'll move over to 1 Chronicles and read chapter 17. Because we are reading in chronological fashion, we are pairing up chapters of the Bible that correspond to the same time frames. You will perhaps recall that when I commented on the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, that I mentioned to you that the author of that book most likely was the prophet Samuel, and then the events recorded in those books that are after his death were most likely written down by Abiathar the priest. But the books of Chronicles are a different story altogether. Those books were not written until about the 5th century BC, so they were quite a long way after the events that are recorded there. They were actually written down as a history, most likely by Ezra, and they were written to the Jews who were returning back to Israel, to Jerusalem, after having been exiled into Babylon. So the Chronicles were written as a history for the Jews so that they would remember their history and their heritage. And they were written full of the genealogies so that the families were very clear on their family histories, and that it was clear with the tribes who was from what family, etc. And it was an important work because identity was very important to the Israelites. So today we'll read out of 2 Samuel and out of 1 Chronicles, and we will cover similar territory. We're going to hear two different accounts of King David making a decision or expressing a desire to build a temple for the Lord. So you'll hear this story, very interesting story, but we start out hearing this story again, this time from 2 Samuel, about David bringing the ark back to Jerusalem and what happens on the way with Uzzah. So you'll hear another account of that we heard previously from Chronicles, but this one's from 2 Samuel chapter 6, and we're beginning at verse 1. And this is a reading from the New American Standard Bible. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1. Now David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him to Baal Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name, the very name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned above the cherubim. They placed the ark of God on a new cart, that they might bring it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were leading the new cart. So they brought it with the ark of God from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Ahio was walking ahead of the ark. Meanwhile, David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with all kinds of instruments made of fir wood, and with lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. But when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out toward the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen nearly upset it. And the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down there for his irreverence, and he died there by the ark of God. David became angry because of the Lord's outburst against Uzzah, and that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. So David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" And David was unwilling to move the ark of the Lord into the city of David with him, but David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. Thus the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now it was told King David, saying, The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him on account of the Ark of God. David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And so it was that when the bearers of the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he offered an ox and a fatling. And David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of the trumpet. Then it happened, as the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So they brought in the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent which David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offering and the peace offering, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Further, he distributed to all the people, to all the multitude of Israel, both to men and women, a cake of bread and one of dates and one of raisins to each one. Then all the people departed, each to his house. But when David returned to bless his household, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel distinguished himself today. He uncovered himself today in the eyes of his servants' maids as one of the foolish ones shamelessly uncovers himself." So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore I will celebrate before the Lord. I will be more lightly esteemed than this and will be humble in my own eyes. But with the maids of whom you have spoken, with them I will be distinguished." Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. Chapter 7. Now it came about, when the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest on every side from all his enemies, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells within tent curtains." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in your mind, for the Lord is with you." But in the same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and say to my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord, are you the one who should build me a house to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the day I brought up the sons of Israel from Egypt, even to this day. But I have been moving about in a tent, even in a tabernacle. Wherever I have gone with all the sons of Israel, did I speak a word with one of the tribes of Israel, which I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make you a great name, like the names of the great men who are on the earth. I will also appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may live in their own place and not be disturbed again. Nor will the wicked afflict them any more as formerly, even from the day that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord also declares to you that the Lord will make a house for you. When your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men and the strokes of the sons of men. But my loving kindness shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever. In accordance with all these words and all this vision, so Nathan spoke to David. Then David the king went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me this far? And yet this was insignificant in your eyes, O Lord God, for you have spoken also of the house of your servant concerning the distant future. And this is the custom of man, O Lord God." Again, what more can David say to you? "For you know your servant, O Lord God. For the sake of your word, and according to your own heart, you have done all this greatness to let your servant know. For this reason, you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, and there is no God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation on the earth is like your people Israel, whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, and to make a name for himself, and to do a great thing for you and awesome things for your land, before your people whom you have redeemed for yourself from Egypt, from nations and their gods? For you have established for yourself your people Israel as your own people forever, and you, O Lord, have become their God. Now, therefore, O Lord God, the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and his house, confirm it forever, and do as you have spoken, that your name may be magnified forever, by saying, 'The Lord of hosts is God over Israel.' And may the house of your servant David be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have made a revelation to your servant, saying, 'I will build you a house.' Therefore your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. Now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are truth, and you have promised this good thing to your servant. Now, therefore, may it please you to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever before you. For you, O Lord God, have spoken, and with your blessing may the house of your servant be blessed forever." This is the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. I want to draw your attention today to the reaction or the response of King David's wife, Michal, as she looked out the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord as the Ark of the Covenant was being brought back to Jerusalem. The scripture tells us that as she watched him from that window and saw how he was behaving and how he was dressed, he had basically stripped down to some very basic clothing, and he had put on an ephod, which was a priestly kind of a shawl over his outer garments, And he was leaping and dancing and praising God, bringing up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet, it tells us here in this passage. But Michael's response to seeing her husband, the king, behaving in this manner, which she considered to be very undignified for a king, the scripture tells us in verse 16 here, in this passage in 2 Samuel chapter 6, that she despised him in her heart. And then, not only did she keep it to herself, her attitude or her thoughts about how he was conducting himself, but when he came home to bless his household, as the scripture tells us in verse 20, she had a very sarcastic comments to make to him. She said, "Oh, how he distinguished himself today." You can just hear the sarcasm in her voice with that statement. And then she goes on to say, "He uncovered himself in the eyes of his servants' maids like a foolish one, shamelessly uncovered himself." So she didn't like the fact that he didn't keep all of his clothes on, all the priestly garb on. And she definitely didn't like him leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she makes this comment that he's going to be basically despised by even the maids who are there. And you can just hear in the intonation of these statements that she makes that she has absolutely no respect for David, no honor for David. She doesn't respect what he was doing. She doesn't have the same spiritual heartbeat that David has. And you know, in scripture, we read that God called David a man after his own heart. And there are many reasons for that, but one of them certainly has to do with his love and his desire to worship God. He had such a heart of worship. He was the young psalmist, the songwriter, who while watching his sheep out in the wilderness would play on his harp and write songs and worship God in the wilderness all by himself. And then once he was king, he wrote many of the psalms that we still have today, and he gave them to the Levites to sing in the temple and to lead the congregation in singing. And so he was a great worshiper of God. And it's very obvious from these lines that we are given here in this passage of scripture that Michael was not a lover of God like David was. You could say they were very unequally yoked when it came to spiritual matters. She may have loved the young warrior or fallen in love with the young warrior who slew Goliath years before, but she definitely did not join him in his love and honor and desire to worship God. And so this created a huge gap between them. And David's response to her was, "It was before the Lord that I was dancing, and he's the one who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will celebrate before the Lord." In other words, I will honor him. This is the God who made me king, and I will honor him. And he went on to say, I'll even be more lightly esteemed or undignified than this, and I'll be humble in even my own eyes. But with the maids of whom you've spoken, with them I will be distinguished. Or in other words, the maids will honor me for having honored the Lord in this way. But Michael showed her husband, the king, no honor at all. And there's something very key here in the very last verse of chapter 6, and that is this statement, very somber statement. Michael, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. Other translations say Michael was barren until the day of her death. And this is very significant for us, and let me explain why. You know, throughout the scriptures, we find many, many very clear admonitions to us as the people of God to be a people of honor, people who honor one another. In fact, if you study this out throughout the scripture from the Old Testament through the New Testament, you'll find that there are at least 9 specific categories of people that God directly commands his people to honor, to show honor to. And Michael violated at least 3 of them here, and I'll give those to you. First of all, we know from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, that the scripture admonishes us as believers to honor the king. That is a direct command to honor people who are in authority. Didn't say honor the king if he's a good king, or honor the king if he's honorable and worthy of honor. Just tells us that we are to honor people who are in authority over us. And honor is something that you give or something that you show to someone else. The word honor actually means to prize or to fix a value upon or to esteem or to see as precious. And you know, I find that many, many people, even in the body of Christ, feel at perfect liberty to ignore these passages of scripture which command us to honor and to give honor to people in authority, to parents, to spouses. And they justify their disobedience based on the imperfections that they have noted in the people God has commanded them to honor. And so then they decide that because of their lack or their shortcomings or their flaws that they observe, that that person is not worthy of being honored. But there is a serious flaw in this type of thinking, and it is simply this: that God has not allowed us to determine who is worthy of honor. God has not given us that right. He is the one who has commanded us to show honor to people regardless of what we may think about their merits. You know, God himself has fixed a value upon every human being. He sees as precious every single human being, from the very innocent baby that was just born, even to the murderer on death row. Now, I know many people would have a real problem with that statement, but the reality is God loves every person on the earth, even those who are sinners and commit horrible crimes. God still loves them. God created them. God desires them to come to himself. So God honors and respects every person, even when they don't do what is right in the eyes of God or man. And so he commands us to honor all men. That's another one of our scriptural injunctions that many people have a hard time with. And you can look that one up yourself in 1 Peter 2:17, where it says, honor all men. So there are many others: honor widows, honor the elderly, honor fellow believers. And there's also injunctions to honor pastors and ministers of the gospel and honor employers. All of these are in the Word of God. But I want to just point out this issue with Michal, because she failed to honor the king. That was number one. She failed to honor her husband. That would be violation number two. And she failed to honor and respect the spiritual leader that David was. You know, David was a prophet. And the scripture tells us, even in the Old Testament, that God commanded his people to touch not the anointed of God and do his prophets no harm. And David was a prophet before the Lord. He wrote many of the Psalms were prophetic, in that they pointed to the Messiah. There are several Psalms that specifically have things written about how Christ will suffer when he's crucified, and those were totally prophetic. David could not have known that other than by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So they were prophetic Psalms. He functioned as a spiritual leader in Israel, as a prophet. He functioned as the authority, as king, and he also was Michael's husband. And she dishonored the king, she dishonored her husband, and she dishonored the priest or prophet that he was as spiritual leader in Israel. And because of her act of dishonor, both in her heart, she despised him in her heart, the scripture tells us. But more than that, then she put it in words. And you know how you dishonor people? With your words, very often. With words, you criticize, you say something very irreverent about someone or something, speak evil of them, you tell some tale about them, whether even if it's true, you expose some weakness that they have. That's dishonoring. That's exactly what Michael did here to David's face. She said these very dishonoring statements to him. And what happened to her? And this is a word for us today. Michael, the daughter of Saul, was barren until the day of her death. Do you know that dishonor, or operating in dishonor in your life, being a person who dishonors other people with your words, with your attitude, with the way that you speak about them to other people, the way you think about them in your heart, a person who operates in dishonor ends up with an unfruitful life. Their life has no fruit in it. You know, honor is something that God has put into the spiritual realm. He has a spiritual principle about honor. And this spiritual principle operates day in and day out and affects your life every single day, whether you know about it or you don't know about it. Just like gravity. Whether you knew about gravity or you did not, gravity still works. If you jump off of a building, you will fall to the ground because gravity's in operation. Even if you don't believe in gravity, it's still operating. Same with this spiritual principle of honor and dishonor. The person who walks and lives and seeks to be a person of honor, speaking well of others, refraining from speaking evil of others, even when you see their weaknesses, the person who just is determined to be a person of honor with their words, with their attitude, and never criticizing other people, praying for those where you do see weakness in their life, being a person of prayer for them, and just going to be a person who decide, I will honor my teachers, I will honor my parents, I will honor everyone around me, I'm going to show respect for them. I will show that they have a value upon their life. Remember the meaning of honor, to fix a value upon, to prize someone, to see someone as precious, even if no one else in the whole world sees them as precious. God does, and you can be like God in that area where you see the preciousness of their life, even if their life does not exude anything honorable. God loves them. There's a value. Christ died for that person. That's fixing a value upon their life. And God has called us to be that type of person. But Michael obviously knew nothing about this spiritual principle. And she dishonored her husband. She dishonored the king. She dishonored the prophet of God with her words, with her attitude, in her mind, and even through her speech. And the result for her life was very devastating. She was barren. She was fruitless until the day of her death. And that is a picture for us. Do you want to be a person who has a fruitful life? Then ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, is there any area of my life where I don't operate as a person of honor? Do I dishonor my employer because I think they're policies are unfair and I speak behind their back and I talk to other employees badly about them? Do I dishonor my parents because I see their failings now that I'm an adult and I have children and I criticize how they raised me? That's dishonoring. God doesn't want us to be that kind of a person. God has called us to be a people of honor, to be a person who speaks with words of honor, who creates a culture of honor around you, and you teach your children to do the same. That way you will help your children to live fruitful lives. It's a powerful principle that's demonstrated so clearly here with King David's wife, Michal, and many other places in Scripture that we've commented on before. But to me, this is one of the most clear pictures of the result of dishonor. Make a pledge to the Lord, to yourself, that you will be a person of honor. Cultivate that in your spirit, in your heart, in your mind. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you, to check you anytime you're operating with a dishonoring attitude. And ask the Lord to forgive you. Repent quickly. Change that. Turn it around. And let the Lord help you to become a person of honor everywhere you go, with every person you meet, even with what things you read in the newspaper. It's very easy to get on the bandwagon, so to speak, with criticizing people in authority and all of that that is so common in the newspapers and in the media. But we don't need to fall into that same way of operating, because God has called us to be people of honor. That's what God wants. And you know, people who sow honor reap honor. That is just a reality in spiritual life. So God wants to bless your life. God wants to make your life fruitful. And choosing to be a person of honor will put you on that same path of honor. God bless you and give you a victorious week. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia 24551. Once again, that's P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Have a victorious week.